What up, what up, what up, little people, big people, all people. What's happening, everybody? If you hear the sound of my voice, that means you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports. If you want to financially support the show, go to buffedupsports.com, scroll down to the support tab, and become a supporter today. There's so much more on the Buffed Up Sports website, including episodes, social media links, and the platforms to listen to the show on. So go check it out. There's so much to talk about on the episode today. We're talking WNBA, we're talking Lions football, we're talking some boxing. But before I get into the boxing and Lions football, I do want to get some WNBA out there. So the WNBA playoffs at the time of this recording has started. By the time this episode released, definitely, you know, a few games in now. So I want to talk about my playoff predictions and my 2023 regular season award predictions, because they haven't been announced yet at the time of this recording. So I want to hurry up and make sure I let my predictions known before the official results are announced. So first thing first, I do want to talk about the WNBA playoff predictions. So for the first round, we have the Las Vegas Aces versus the Chicago Sky. Remember, by the way, first round is best out of three. So with that being said, I do have the Vegas Aces beating the Sky in two games. And that's no bias. Y'all know the Aces are my favorite team. But I just feel like the Aces are going to roll like how they did last season. So Aces beat the Sky in two. Then we have the Connecticut Sun versus the Minnesota Lynx. I have the Sun beating the Lynx in two. Now, when it comes to the Washington Mystics and New York Liberty series, I said if the Mystics were healthy, they might steal a game. They might even win the series, you know, because the Mystics were looking scary, especially towards the end of the season. But it doesn't look like they will be fully healthy. With that being said, I'm going to go Liberty in two, actually. I was going to say Liberty in three, but it's looking like Liberty in two. Then we have the Dallas Wings versus the Atlanta Dream, in my opinion, will be the most competitive matchup of the first round. But I got the Dream pulling it out, and this is a tough decision to make because I like players on both teams. It's tough on me, but I'm going to go with the Dream in three. Again, it's kind of a shame that it's only three games because it's hard. But, you know, I'm going to go Dream in three for that one. So, assuming everything I predicted in the first round is correct, let's go into the semifinals. The Aces would be matching up with the Atlanta Dream. I got the Aces. Oh, by the way, semifinals, now we're at best out of five. No longer best out of three. Best out of five series now. So, best out of five, Aces would be playing the Dream. I got the Aces in three. I can honestly see the Dream still in the game because they did, you know, have competitive games with the Aces this season. In the regular season, that is. But I just feel like, again, the Aces got too much for them. Aces 3-0 series. Now, another good series, the New York Liberty versus the Connecticut Sun. Two MVP candidates going at it between Breonna Stewart and Alyssa Thomas. This series, I'm going to say, definitely goes the full five, but the victorious one will be the New York Liberty. I got the New York Liberty beating the Connecticut Sun in five. That takes us to the finals. Again, another best out of five series. For the umpteenth time this season, we will have the New York Liberty versus the Las Vegas Aces. It goes five no matter what. You know, this is another series I say that goes five no matter what. And I know the Liberty had the Aces number in the regular season. I know Candace Parker doesn't look like she's going to be back anytime soon. She still is in a boot. But if the Aces can turn it up like they did last year, then I gotta give it to the Aces. I just feel like they're the most unbeatable team in the WNBA once they are rolling. And I always say that. I said, once the Aces get rolling, they're not stopping them. It's really just, can the Aces get past beating themselves? Like, when they beat themselves, that's when, you know, I feel like that's typically when they lose. I don't think it's too much of teams beating the Aces. Because again, once you see the Aces when they have full momentum, I don't think you can stop them. That being said, I say the Aces repeat. They go back-to-back champs. They're going to win this series in five games. Asia Wilson might finally get that finals MVP after last year, Chelsea Gray won. So That's my playoff predictions. Now let me talk the regular season award predictions. First off, Coach of the Year. This is going to be a shocker, but I'm going Becky Hammon. There were four coaches I did consider for a minute. Like I said, Becky Hammon was the eventual one I picked, but I did consider Atlanta Dream coach Tanisha Wright for how she upgraded the Dream this year. I considered Sandy Brondello, the New York Liberty coach, because again, the Liberty made a big jump this year. And then a lot of people are saying Stephanie White out of the Connecticut Sun, first year head coach for them. The reason I didn't give it to Stephanie White, because I know it's first year head coach, but like, they're the same. Granted, Breonna Jones did get hurt. Okay, that's something to keep in mind. But they pretty much stayed consistent with last year. In fact, their win percentage even decreased. With Sandy, out of the New York Liberty, my thing was they had two All-Stars coming in. Really, three. So you had three key players come in to add to Sabrina. Okay. Yeah, I expect you to make a jump. With Tanisha Wright, I really considered her because, again, the Dream made a big jump from last year to this year. And they're just a young team that's trying to pull it together more than anything. Like, that's where they're at right now. And then the reason I gave it to Becky Hammon out of the Aces, not only did the Aces, okay, I'm going to contradict myself for a hot second because, yes, the Aces did add in the star Hall of Famer and Candace Parker. But Candace Parker ended up getting hurt. Okay. On top of that, the Aces still stayed where they was at, which contradicts where I'm at with the Sun. But then the Aces technically had a better winning percentage than last year by a lot. Went from like 70-some percent to they reached 80 this year. 80% win. So I got to give it to the Aces. I got to give it to Becky Hammon on that one. Found the way to pull that team together, keep them together. And everybody was just waiting for the moment for the Aces to crumble, especially when they took back-to-back losses later in the season, but it just didn't happen. Aces finished the season strong, and I think they're going to keep it strong through the playoffs. Sixth woman of the year, I'm going Alicia Clark, and I promise you this is not my Aces bias standing out because I just gave two people from the Aces organization awards. But no, I did think about Dana Evans for a minute. I thought about Dejanay Carrington, but Alicia Clark just seemed to have a better season out of the three. And I don't know where the Aces would be without Alicia Clark at this point. So Alicia Clark was my sixth woman of the year. Most improved player of the year, I'm going Satu Stabile because her numbers progressed a lot. I know how everybody talks about was because she didn't play as much last year. And I did consider that. But her numbers, again, increased a lot. And even if you look at her numbers in previous seasons compared to this year, they increased a lot. Versus the other player I considered, Jordan Canada, who I'm a huge fan of. I've been a fan of Jordan Canada, and I've been an advocate that she was going to pull it together since she was back up to Sue Bird. I just always said Jordan Canada was going to take over Sue Bird one day, and it didn't happen, but I still believe in Jordan Canada. Point is, I really wanted to go with Jordan Canada because of my fandom towards her, but I couldn't do it because her numbers didn't increase that much. I mean, if you look at most improved, it's that simple. Who improved the most? That being said, I had to go Satu. Rookie of the year, I'm not even going to explain this one. Leah Boston, no brainer. Started an All-Star game. Come on now, no brainer. Defensive player of the year. As much as I want to say Asia Wilson, I couldn't do it. I end up going with Alyssa Thomas. Between the rebounds, the blocks, you know, all the defensive stats, defensive percentage, you know, all those numbers, gotta go to Alyssa Thomas. As much as I wanted to give it to Asia though, them blocks give Asia a great candidate because yeah. Then lastly, MVP. Of course, it's a three-player race. We all know who it is: Breonna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas, Asia Wilson. I probably at one point said all three of those players' names for my MVP this year. Not even being funny. There was a point I probably would have said Stewie, There was a point where I was thinking Alyssa Thomas, but I had to settle on Asia Wilson. In fact, if I could have ranked the three, third was Breonna Stewart. Second was Alyssa Thomas. First was Asia Wilson. I gave Asia Wilson the MVP. Just off, I mean, obviously stats. That was a big factor. Her numbers looked the best to me. I even blindly looked at these players' stat numbers, like not knowing who was who, like as far as the names, I blindly looked, and yeah, I settled on, that's why I came up with the ranking system, man. I settled on Asia was first, Thomas was second, Stewart was third, and then when I found out who they were, I was like, okay, those, that's who I will vote for MVP this year. So the stats, Asia, and then of course, whatchamacallit, best team in the league, the Aces. And of course, if you're the best player on the best team in the league, you really got a heck of an argument. So Asia Wilson was my MVP. I can't wait to talk about next episode to tell you how the award predictions went. And it'll probably be about another month, I say we got, before we can find out how my playoff predictions went. We'll at least know the first round, though, so hey. Can't wait to come back and hear how bad of the takes these were or how great they were. We'll see. All right, y'all. Now we're going to turn the conversation over to some football and boxing. Y'all know who it is. We got my boy Mondez on the show. Say yo, what's yo, up, Mondez.
Little people, big people. What's the deal?
How you feeling, man?
Good, good. Great week of football, boxing getting on fire. First good week one for the city of Detroit, the state of Michigan.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna talk about it. But bro, I got you on, and so I can't fight the you know, noise or whatever. We played week one of fantasy football, and I think I'm about to quit already because I ain't like the way you whooped me up in that first week. I ain't gonna lie.
Nah, funny part is this is my first fantasy. I'm asking him how to even draft my players. And nah. I can tell how RJ draft. He's such a diehard Michigan fan. He drafted all the former Michigan players, all the former Lions, everybody that had something to do with Michigan.
Hey, but they was coming through though, because I took St. Brown. St. Brown did me good.
Yeah.
Swift saved me in week two. So yep. I mean, hey, but nah, I'll tell you what. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Y'all might have lost the first week, but I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I got beat so bad, it made me contemplate wanting to play anymore. But no, now we got the fantasy talk. I don't want to talk about that for too long. That kind of hurt my feelings. But we do got to talk about these. Can I put your business out there? As far as work, am I allowed to?
Go ahead.
All right, so I wanted to make sure I was allowed to talk about the sacrifices made before. I didn't want to put you on the spot. But no, I'm going to break it to you like this. This man legit caught off work
yeah,
to watch the Lions game. Wasn't worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Best game. Game of the year. Win of the year. We're the new Super Bowl champs. Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know. This is why people need to stop playing with the Lions. This man could go miss out on a little money to watch the game. Y'all got to stop playing. And he said it was worth it. How often do the Lions actually make something worth it?
Man, how about them Lions, man? It was worth it. It was worth it. They put on the show. Even though we had some help from the other team, we did what we had to do.
So let me ask you this.
What's up?
Do you believe in the Lions? I know it's only week one, but do you believe in the Lions?
When you say believe, what am I believing in exactly?
Do you think they can be a good team? Like, what's your expectations, pretty much?
Expectations? We should win the division. We don't got
okay, so I feel like you believe then. You believe enough that we're going to be good. You don't think it's going to be a fall off?
Part of the division is weak. I feel like we got the best quarterback in the division.
That ain't saying much.
It ain't saying much. All the comp is Kirk Cousins. But we got the best quarterback in the division. We got a young team, young roster, a lot of new weapons. I think we can get a home playoff game. I think it's possible. Injury, we got a coach that we believe in. We got everything going for us right now.
I feel like you saying all that tells me you believe enough. That's all I needed to hear. You believe enough.
I believe, but I don't think we're going to. If we get a home playoff game, win or lose, that's a win for me.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, let's not, you know, downplay the Super Bowl. something of that nature would be crazy. But us being Lions fans, we got to be realistic too. And the fact is, that's down the road. If we, like you said, we get a playoff game at home, I say that's a success within itself. So I'm with you on that one. So now, follow up to that is, what will it take for people to finally put some respect on the Lions? Because, I mean, we heard what the media had to say this week. Oh, yeah, the Lions won, but this happened, that happened. But I feel like what people fail to realize is the Lions been doing this for, like, since the last part of last season. And it seems like it's carrying into this season so far, and hopefully it continues. So, like, what do you think it will take for people to finally be like, okay, the Lions are legit. They're not a joke no more.
I think we're going to have to beat a couple more teams. And we can't just beat them. We're going to have to show them, like, our dominance. We can't just have a close game, especially if, like, half of their players are injured or not playing. We need to be, like, more dominant. I feel like throughout the season, we're going to display that for sure.
No doubt. So, I know, again, we already in the week one, but if you could predict a Lions record, I know you said home playoff game, what would the regular season record be?
17 games. I say 11-6.
That was actually mine. I said 11-6, but I tell you what, as much as I said, like, on Twitter and all that, oh yeah, we beat in Kansas City, I didn't put that in there.
On my pick'em, I put Kansas City.
See, now I ain't gonna lie, on the pick'ems, I did put Lions at the very last minute, but, like, in my mind, when I was thinking Lions record, I'm like, yeah, if I had to give up a loss, that would be one of them.
But it's crazy, because the Lions, I feel like historically, we just play to our level of competition. If we play a great team, we gonna play great. But let us play some bums, we gonna scoot down, and it's gonna be a close game for no reason. That's why I said we gotta dominate. We can't go to our level of competition. We gotta set the standard.
No, that's true. I agree. So hopefully the Lions can keep making some noise. Hey, I know my sister asked me about going to a Lions game. I told her, I said, look at them prices. Then you talk back to me. And she looked. Yeah, we ain't going to the Lions game. We cheering from the crib, but we still cheering. That's all that matter.
From the house.
So let's talk about some boxing. We got some ducking going on. At least I think so. Mm. Frank Martin, Shakur Stevenson, they had a fight agreed to. Then the talks fell through. Well, what's your take on that? You think, because the word on the street is Frank Martin is ducking. And then, of course, Frank Martin said he wasn't. Shakur says he is. What's your take? What you think is really going on behind the scenes right now?
From what I'm hearing from my reliable resources.
Okay, Stephen X.
on my resources off X, they say it's a contract, which is, it's understandable to a point, but I feel like Frank Martin, he got to take that chance. He don't have the biggest name. He has a name, but he's not the biggest name. He's ranked fourth in the rankings, so it's not like he got too much leverage. So I think he should have took that shot. But the numbers that I was hearing, I guess it wasn't as even as it should have been, because it is a vacant title. But I don't know. Maybe he'll potentially get a fight with Tank. They are on the same side of the street. That might have been it. But Shakur, he did the same thing with Devin. He didn't want to take the less money. And yeah, that was for all the belts.
Yeah.
This is for one vacant belt. So, I mean, it's really the same move.
I get what you're saying there. Yes and no. On paper, it looked like the same move. The only reason why I'm kind of skeptical on saying that with Shakur and Haney is only because it might have been some ducking on both sides, in my opinion, on that one. Mm. Because, of course, that clip came out with Haney dad talking about, yeah, if it get too hot, then we just going to move up. And, of course, people trying to interpretate that, like, what does that mean? Is he trying to say they're running from the smoke, a.k.a. Shakur Stevenson? So, who knows? I don't know, man. I feel like it was some ducking on both ends, because then, like you said, too, Shakur could have just took the he was going to make the most money he's made in his career. So it's kind of like you got to take the payday. Even if you feel like you deserve more, he didn't have the leverage that Haney had. Like you said, Haney got all the belts. Shakur, you have nothing to offer right now. So you kind of got to take the payday. And like you said, with Frank and Shakur, Frank, he a nice fighter, but he ain't got the name that Shakur got. And this is probably the biggest fight he could get at the moment. So biggest fight, biggest payday, you would think to take it, but he didn't. So,
yeah.
I don't know what's up there.
Yeah, Devin Daddy, he said that when he met Hot, like if the fight is hot, like it's a must-see fight, like the fans are asking for it, we could just do it at 40. Because that man, he's struggling making 135 right
That's
now.
That's true.
So I don't think it was a necessary duck, but it really was like, okay, you want a shot, take this 25%, we can get it on. And he's not, Devin, he had all the leverage. So I can't really blame him. And Shakur, I can't blame him, but to a certain extent, when you gonna be able to fight for all the belts all at once? That's rare. True. That is rare. And word on the street, word on Twitter, that was the most money he was gonna make, even if it was 25%. So.
Yeah, so.
But that's boxing. That's like, boxing is a love-hate sport. You love fights, you love the build up, but then you hate how long it takes. Even when a fight's announced, you gotta wait 2-3 months for the fight to come.
No, I always say that. I was like, every time they announce, oh, this fight is agreed to, I said, all right, talk to me when the ring walks happen. Like, until they coming out to the ring, I don't want to hear nothing about no agreed to, because again, it's another fight, like you said, agreed to, and it didn't happen. So, And then I like what you said about boxing being a love-hate sport, because of the fact we got this thing where this year in boxing, honestly, has been great. It's probably one of the best years boxing's had in who knows how long, and because it's not a lot of big fights happen. And now it seemed like we going back into that, you know, nobody want to really fight each other, because as much as I want to say, like, yo, Tank and Ryan fights, yo, Fulton Inoue fights, and Spence and Crawford fights help, I felt like the Spence and Crawford one, it helped, but it kind of hurt in the same way. Because, yes, two fighters that fans want to see got it in the ring. Yes, both fighters got a nice payday.
Yep.
But one fighter walked out victorious and got all the shine. The other got his butt whooped. And I think a lot of these guys just scared to get their butt whooped and then get talked about on Twitter. So I think that's part of the problem right now.
Yeah, it definitely is a little fear factor. They don't want to lose AO. And also, they want to maximize their money. They don't want to just fight for... They thinking, they mindset, we fight right now, it's not going to be as much in 3 years. Which is like, you wasting your career, in my opinion. You and your prime, you getting on right now. But I don't think it's dying down. I think it's still a lot of high-level fights coming up. Like, we got Haney Progress, he's coming up. We got Canelo, Charlo. It's still some big fights coming up. So, hopefully, they continue on this.
Speaking of Canelo Charlo, we got to talk about that one, because I don't know if I have you on before that fight happens, so we got to get it in now. Who wins and how? Tell me how this fight going to go.
Fight going to come out. Canelo going to come out strong. Charlo going to move around a little bit. And then to sum it up, Canelo going to knock him out.
What round?
7th, 8th.
Okay.
7th, 8th round. The body work going to catch up to him. He going to start beating him up. It's going to be like kind of like the Caleb Plant and Canelo. Is a little competitive, then he gets knocked out. I feel like Canelo is way, way too sharp and strong. The way that Charlo was reacting to punches from Castaño. Castaño is not half of the puncher, Canelo. Even if Canelo is a little past his prime, he still got the experience, the power. The power don't leave. The experience, that don't leave. The conditioning, it might play a part a little towards the end, but I don't think it even goes to the end. Canelo, I think he's on a mission.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Canelo coming out of his prime a little bit, because I know we talked about it recently, how you said you didn't like the way Canelo looked in his last few fights, and you feel like he's starting to become overrated more than anything.
Yeah.
So, do you think Charlo is being slept on? Because I feel like casual fan. In fact, I'm going to do this for you. Do you think I'm wrong to say Charlo's being slept on? Like, explain to the people, if they sleeping on Charlo, who Charlo is. Charlo, that is.
I don't think it's wrong to sleep on Charlo because of his opposition. I feel like Canelo's that good. I feel like Canelo, he's moving up to Canelo weight class. Even though they're the same size, it's still his weight class. Canelo still got to be used to carrying around that extra weight. Canelo's more used to it. I feel like when you look at Charlo's last couple fights, it's like, okay, you got a dude short, stocky, who comes forward just like Canelo. But the only difference is Canelo's stronger. Canelo's more experienced. He punch harder, better defense. And just like the details, Charlo, he got a chance if he comes in tip-top shape. If he don't come in tip-top shape, he's getting knocked out.
So I'm glad you brought up the chance thing, because Like, I mean, you pretty much made it known. It's pretty expected Canelo wins. Like, Canelo wins, no shocker, it's expected. That's who I would bet on. But let's talk about if the unexpected happens, because it is boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Say Jermell Charlo pulls off the upset. Does he become number one pound for pound?
He got a strong case, a very strong case. Because he will be two times undisputed.
Yep.
And being Canelo, who is top 5 pound for pound, and probably like the best of this generation, like since Floyd.
I was about to say, Canelo is probably the best and most popular fighter since Floyd. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like he will be. I feel like pound for pound, it's him or Crawford. I feel like it's still.
That's what I'm going to say. So, you put in, if Jermell wins, that is, you put him above Inoue for sure or no?
I put him above Inoue because he'll have a person on a pound for pound list that he beat.
Okay. And so Crawford, you said that's pretty much the only one.
That's the only one. And the reason why I say that is because they're so close in weight classes. There's people who really feel like Crawford would beat Charlo. So that factor, and Charlo, the way he won his past championships, he has lost. He has a loss to Tony. He has a draw to Castaño, which really was a loss.
I was about to say, that was really lost.
So, based on that, I feel like he'll be number two.
Okay.
Crawford, so he's been knocking out everybody since he came in the division.
No, that's, I mean, don't let him knock out Canelo. Then he really going to have an argument.
Oh, if he stop him, if he move up and stop Canelo, he got a strong case.
At that point, I got to give it to him.
Yeah, because Canelo... One thing about Canelo, he got a chin.
Yeah.
You never doubt his chin. He done took some punches. He done moved up multiple weight classes.
Yeah.
And that did not, that never stopped him.
Yeah, I mean, factual. But, man, anything else you want to talk about? Are you ready to get up out of here?
Man, let's head on out of here. All I got to say is, how about them Lions? Catch y'all week two against the Seahawks.
All
right. That's our home opener, right?
Yo, home opener.
Oh yeah, we gonna turn the city up for sure.
Oh, and it's on my mom's birthday. I ain't gonna lie, so I gotta shout out my mom real quick. Happy birthday, mom!
Shout out, dudes.
Nah, cause it's the way. At least she know what I'm gonna be doing on her birthday.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see her, but she know where my mind at.
Yeah, you at least gotta watch like every game.
It's only one. I tried explaining that to her. I said, "Bob, let's be real here." I said, "I ain't never seen the Lions this much hype in my lifetime." I was like, I don't think I can miss this for the world. She was like, no, I'm already knowing. I'm like, at least you know. Like, don't get it twisted. I still rock with you, but like.
Yeah, we still cool. I need the Lions, we up right now.
I'm just saying, I need about 3.5 hours dedicated to them Lions on Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you need an extra 30 to look at the Twitter hype.
Dog, exactly. Because I mean, win or lose, I got to get my thoughts together, that whole thing. So.
Yep.
You right. Yeah, you're right. We just gonna say 4 hours. I just need 4 hours dedicated on Sunday. So that's where I'm at with it. But no, I appreciate you for coming on, man.
Yep. No
problem. Catch y'all on the next one.
Catch you.